Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Transport and Housing Editor for The Straits Times, Karamjit Kaur, joins us in the studio today to discuss the government's ban on e-scooters on footpaths, which was enforced on Tuesday. Now, those caught flouting the rules can be fined up to $2,000 and or jailed for up to 3 months if convicted. But from now until the end of the year, officers from the Land Transport Authority will mainly issue warnings to errant riders. The LTA said that on the first day of the ban, though, more than 100 riders of e-scooters and other personal mobility devices were seen still on footpaths. Karamjit, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
A huge thing that loads of people still talking about around the water cooler, etc. But we also hear rumblings on the ground as well that some sort of plans to address PMD riders' grievances, especially those who are in the food delivery business. What's the latest development?
Yeah, that's right. So we are hearing that, you know, the government is planning to roll out some sort of an assistance package for, you know, PMD riders who are affected. And this, basically, we're talking about food delivery riders. We don't have the details of that yet. We are expecting that news to come in anytime soon, actually.
So when we say help, what might we figure?
So if you think about it, the problem, you know, so a lot of these riders have come out in the last few days to, you know, raise concerns that they have, which is basically, you know, without the e-scooters, we can't do our work, right? And, you know, livelihood will be affected and all that. So you would imagine that, you know, one thing that the government might want to do is to help these riders move on to a different mode of transport. You know, so we could be looking at bicycles, for example, or power-assisted bicycles that you don't see on the footpaths, but they're allowed on the roads. So, you know, these are some of the options you would imagine would be considered. The other thing also, of course, is, you know, alternative employment. So, you know, even the first day when they announced the ban, Workforce Singapore had come out with a statement to say that, you know, if you need help to look for new jobs, then you can come and approach us. So that would be, you know, another thing that the sort of help that might be extended to these to this group of affected drivers. We're talking like about 7,000 of them. That's, you know, the sort of numbers that we're talking about.
So financial incentives in various forms to some degree, right?
I would think so, yes.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning, though, to find out what exactly happened. So they were given only 24 hours notice, riders of PMDs, that the ban was announced in Parliament on Monday and then it was enforced on Tuesday. Maybe that was too short, you reckon?
Well, I think yes
and
no.
Anecdotally, I think it worked because I have the privilege of living very close to work and I walk every day home and to work. And that day when it hit, none on the footpaths.
So I think when you I think there are many people like you, you know, just people who use the footpaths, just pedestrians, who I think are, you know, were very happy when the announcement was made. 24 hours, is that too short a time? I think, to be fair, you know, yes, it is too short a time for any, you know, major announcement. And why the hurry, you know, in that sense to do this? And to some extent, the writing was on the wall, right? I mean, we've been reporting, you know, about a growing number of, you know, accidents, incidents. You know, there was this 65-year-old, you know, woman who died, you know, after one of these accidents. And we think that was kind of like the tipping point, you know. I think at that point, everything kind of changed and, you know, a decision was made that, no, you know, this has to stop. Enough is enough. And we need to really do something drastic. And I mean, this is as drastic as it gets. Would, you know, more of a grace period have been helpful? I really don't know, because
grace period in terms of notice.
So, you know, if they had said, for example, with effect from the 1st of Jan, I don't know what would have changed after that, because, you know, these are still riders who
need. It's still
need
a ban,
So it remains a problem. It might have given them a bit more time to think of alternatives. In that sense, that would have helped. But, you know, I think fundamentally it doesn't change the concerns that, you know, these food delivery riders have.
Karamjit, you rightly mentioned that it is these PMD riders employed with food delivery vehicles that are mostly affected. But the response to the ban from these, say, the largest or three major food delivery companies, Deliveroo, Foodpanda and GrabFood, have been rather different. Let's go through them. What has each been saying?
Okay, so to be honest, they haven't been saying very much. So we've been pushing them. So the sense we get is that they also want to just see how the situation plays out. But Grab actually, so Grab is perhaps the one that's most affected, because of the 7,000 riders that we're talking about, the vast majority, as far as we know, are employed with Grab. And so on the very first day when the ban was announced, Grab actually, you know, told our reporter that they are concerned and that they will in fact be engaging, that they plan to engage the government to see whether, you know, some sort of an arrangement, you know, can be worked out that would allow them to still, you know, use riders and to allow them to still use their PMDs, but perhaps with tighter regulation and with tighter rules. So since then, they've not given us any sort of an update. Some of that may well come out today, you know, after the announcement is made. Mm. Deliveroo and Foodpanda, the majority of their riders don't actually use PMDs. Most of them are, you know, on bikes or some other form of transport, or they just walk. But Grab, you know, is perhaps the one that will be most that is the most affected.
So we've also heard that over the last few days, some of the food delivery riders went to talk to their MPs and their grassroots leaders at the Meet the People sessions, and then it looks like they're pretty proactive about it. Shouldn't, though, the delivery companies have provided a solution? You did say earlier, writing's been on the wall for some time.
Yes. So, again, you know, details from the food delivery companies, I mean, they have been very scant. So it doesn't necessarily mean, I think, that they haven't been doing anything. It's just that they've not been
told
telling us about
it.
You know, the drivers, on the other hand, you know, they have been very public, as you said. You know, they've actually been going out every day, you know, since the announcement. They've been going out to Meet the People session, to, you know, talk to MPs. The first, you know, MP they went to see was actually Minister Shanmugam on the very first day. And he met them and, you know, he said, you know, he would take up their concerns in Parliament when it next sits. Just last night, they, you know, were out again and they met with Mr. Desmond Lee, the Minister for Social and Family Development, and he also similarly said that, you know, he will make some of their concerns known to the LTA and to MOT. And tonight, actually, we hear that they will be going out again to yet another session. So, you know, they've been going out every day, and, you know, I think would be fair to say that the response, you know, whatever announcements, you know, are being made now or will be made soon, could, you know, really just in response to all these concerns that have been raised by these drivers.
We're speaking to Transport and Housing Editor for The Straits Times, Karamjit Kaur, about the e-scooter ban. We're going to venture into speculative territory now, Karamjit. Over the last few days, we've heard of all of this now unfolding. Do you think perhaps a reversing of the ban might happen?
I don't think so.
Or if the possible incentives that will be rolled out, possibly coming, may be enough to assuage fears and concerns that the riders have.
Yeah, so the understanding we have, just based on the conversations we've had with people in the industry, and I don't think they will relook the ban. My sense is that, you know, the authorities are quite, you know, set on this. So then the next question is, as you mentioned, you know, whatever incentives are going to be rolled out, will these be enough? I think we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I can see the question mark above your head.
I'm actually thinking really hard. So I think, you know, as what you said, hopefully there'll be fewer accidents. So I think if that happens, that in itself would be really great. Could it have been done better? You know, could the authorities have handled it better? Sure.
Hindsight.
Yes. Mm. I mean, you know, 2020, right? But I think it's fair to say that I think no one expected the sort of numbers in terms of, you know, the sheer number of PMDs that would hit our roads and then our footpaths. And so it seems to be a bit reactive, if I may say so.
Yeah, so if we head back slightly more then and use hindsight, perhaps our infrastructure not enough to accommodate this. Because as it turns out, we only have, 440 kilometres of cycling paths that the e-scooters are now allowed on.
Yeah, which is like less than 10% of footpath of the sheer amount of, you know, space that they had. So, you know, did we push this too fast? I think yes, because clearly the infrastructure, you know, did not move fast enough. So I think that's where the thinking now is, right? That so there are plans to, you know, beef up the infrastructure. I think in most of the towns that you would visit today, whether it's Bishan, Ang Mo Kio, and some of the rest, you do see a lot of new cycling paths being built. They're expanding the, you know, park connector networks as well. And I think when that happens, there will be a lot more, much longer cycling paths that these riders can use. So in hindsight, I think we were just too eager, I think, to roll out this whole active mobility plan, you know, the whole first mile, last mile concept to allow people to, you know, get to their MRT station, to their bus interchanges in a comfortable way. You don't end up sweating and all that. But could have been done in a more measured and calibrated way.
But anecdotally, in our weather, you might still perspire a great deal, even on a personal mobility device.
That's true.
Karmjit, what about, say, alternative measures that might have been proposed? Perhaps the minimum age for PMD riders, the special licenses for food delivery riders, road tax, perhaps?
Yeah. So, couple of things I think happening like concurrently, right? Because like before this ban was announced, there was actually this active mobility advisory panel that was set up. And in fact, just recently they had submitted some recommendations. And some of those recommendations include what you just said, you know, like that there should be like a minimum age for a PMD rider, 16 years old, and that they should be licensed and that they should have to undergo like a road safety sort of a program and, you know, pass a test and stuff like that. And I think it's all, you know, it's all great ideas. In fact, you know, that's what the PMD riders and the food delivery companies are proposing now. So, you know, in all these meetings that they've had with the MPs and all, you know, they're basically, you know, saying, please allow us to use our PMDs and we promise we will behave.
Mm.
Personally, I don't think that's a bad thing, you know, because, so I think if we can regulate this well, you know, make the food delivery firms responsible for ensuring that their workers use these PMDs responsibly, you know, you can set speed limiters so that, you know, you can confine them to maybe a maximum of 6-7 kilometers per hour, whatever that speed is. Make it a condition that, you know, they can only use PMDs that are, you know, supplied by the company, or, you know, either you pay them like a rental fee or whatever. And yeah, you ensure that they're licensed, you ensure that they're insured. I think if you can do all that, in my own opinion, I think that is a reasonable approach. Whether or not that is something the government will consider, really hard to say.
Question mark still.
Yeah, it's like a huge question mark. But in my own personal opinion, I think that would work. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, giving them power-assisted bicycles, for example, is really going to help because, you know, you take them off the footpaths, but you're pushing them onto the roads.
Right.
Because, you know, these power-assisted...
Then they become vulnerable.
Yeah, because power-assisted bikes are allowed on the road. And, you know, if you're like a motorist, you know, it's quite scary, right? If you suddenly just kind of transfer the problem to the road, I don't know if that is necessarily a good thing, you know?
We'll have to leave it there and wait with bated breath to see what sort of announcements are coming soon. Transport and Housing Editor for The Straits Times, Karmjit Kaur, joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.